As you have noticed, we also have the Lord's Supper this morning. And occasionally I will share the passage with you and review the significance of the Lord's Supper and take this time to remember just how much God has given so that we could have peace with Him. We could have forgiveness of sins and hope and joy and a new life in His Son, Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And we'll begin reading in verse 23. Would you please stand with me in honor of God's Word? 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take and eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Father, we thank You again for this time of remembrance and of strengthening, this time to stand before You and find forgiveness again for our faults and our failures. Father, we know that You have loved us and You have loved us without end. But still, there are times of rebellion in our life. And we ask for help and strength against the enemy and even against ourselves so that we can honor You as You have honored us. Now strengthen us, I pray, in this time and in Your Word. We ask it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be seated, please. Paul is writing to the Corinthians because the word has come down to him that some are not honoring Christ in the Lord's Supper as they should. And we find that to be evident even in our church today. If we live a life full of sin and we come in on Sunday and we just think everything's okay and hunky-dory and we don't have any problems with God, but we're never seeking forgiveness and we're never seeking to change our lives, then we are living what I will say to you is a lie. Because we cannot walk a life in dishonor of God, considering all that He has given to give us hope and joy in life, a new life in Him. And Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed. And that's a strong word, that word betrayed. How many of you know what that word betrayed means, have experienced betrayal in life? Because it's very easy to define. You can go to any dictionary and you can find it. In fact, I'll tell you right now, this is what it says. Betrayal means to fail or to desert, especially in a time of need. But that's not completely the circumstance here. And so the definition also continues with this. And this fits quite well the situation we want to understand. To deliver to an enemy by treachery. To be delivered to your enemy by treachery. To draw close, to befriend, to act like you are a confidant, and then to betray by treachery. This is Judas. We're talking about Judas. But how many times in our life have we played the part of Judas where we have spoken how close we are with God and in the next moment we have walked with the devil in the world? And how are we honoring God in those things? How are we showing our love before the world that Jesus really matters to us? How are we showing to God Himself we care about Him as He has cared about us? Because I want you to understand, only a heart that is filled with contempt for God can act this way towards God. A heart that is filled with contempt for God. Paul says that Jesus spoke, He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And it's only fitting that we should remember what that really is and what that means and how that happened. And so when you read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He was taken into a mockery of a trial and brought before the high priest and all of the folks that were supposed to be close to God and should have known the Messiah when He was there. But they were so filled with their own desires and their own way of thinking and their own will to be fulfilled and completed in life that they couldn't see God when He was standing before them. And they had a mockery of a trial, and it all ended up Jesus standing before Pilate because the people had brought Him in. And Pilate had a challenging moment with Jesus, and it says that Pilate took Him and scourged Him. And that the soldiers put a crown of thorns on His head. And can you imagine pressing that crown of thorns into His flesh on his head after His body had already been scourged? And then they covered Him with a purple cloak. And they mocked Him. "Hail the King of the Jews," they said. And then they brought Him back to Pilate. The people had already cried out for Him to be crucified, but Pilate's got Him again in a moment. And Pilate is challenging Him. And you know what Jesus said to Pilate? "You would have no authority over Me except it was given to you by My Father in heaven." Pilate said, "This man is innocent." He tried to take Him back before the people and offer Him an opportunity to be redeemed from this crucifixion. And they cried out all the more, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Pilate had washed his hands and said, "This man is innocent." They said, "Oh no, he's made himself an enemy against Caesar. And if he's an enemy against Caesar, he's not your friend. Crucify Him." Can you imagine standing in a crowd that He had walked among and helped and healed, and family members probably living in the blessing of His love and mercy and compassion, and to see family standing there or hearing them from outside the walls, the echoes of those screams, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him. Let His blood be on us and our children." Because Pilate said, "I'm washing my hands." They said, "Fine, we'll take it. We'll take it. We'll take it." His body was broken, but not His words, nor His spirit, and nor will they ever be broken. But let's not forget what brought us to this moment. Hearts filled with contempt. And I want to ask you today, is there anyone among us who will come to this table and remember Christ with a heart filled with contempt after what God has done for us? And it's not just that his body was broken. He also said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. In my blood. Of his own accord, Jesus poured out his blood for us. He said in John chapter 10, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I do this. You only have power over me because my Father has granted it to be so. And guess what? I am giving myself over to it freely. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why would Jesus give himself to such brutality and such hatred? I'll tell you why. So that he could look down from the cross and say, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. His body was broken and his blood was poured out. But even more than his blood being poured out, his compassion for all of us flowed even more greatly than his blood. Do you know that compassion today? Have you been cleansed and covered by the blood that saves from sins? Have you seen the wonder of who he is? And what we're doing here today, what we are remembering here today, his body that is broken and his blood that is poured out. And I want to remind you that all of this is done, and it begins with betrayal. It begins with hearts filled with contempt. The greatest blessing of God begins with the hearts of contempt found in men. In a single man to begin with. And in the courtyard, the multitudes. Hearts filled with contempt. But at the end of it all, Jesus still said, Father, forgive them. He never gave in to the will of the flesh. It would have been so easy to call 10,000 angels. It would have been so easy to say, Father, they're not worth it. He never said it. You could never prove to me he even thought it. But he carried his cross all the way to the end so he could say those words. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. But I'm saying to you today, we know what we're doing. Now. And we know what is taking place in this time of remembrance. And I want to ask you again, will anyone come to this table as a traitor? Will anyone come to this table, anyone who needs mercy and forgiveness in life, will anyone come to this table with contempt for God? Or will they remember what God has done and celebrate in the joy of his love? Because this is what we are here for today. To celebrate God. To celebrate his love. To celebrate his mercy. And if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we need to honor him. Especially in our lives, every day. And most certainly, we come before him right now to share in this time of remembrance We should not come with hearts filled with contempt or with some thought in our mind that, oh, he'll just forgive me because he's God. We need to be sincere with him as he is sincere with us. And I'm asking you today, do you know the goodness of God? Do you have the peace and the joy of forgiveness covering your life? Or do you still need to find that? Because I want to offer you, before we celebrate the supper remembrance of Jesus, I want to offer you the opportunity to come and to find peace and to find that hope and to find that joy in this moment, to find forgiveness for rebellion that you might have in your life right now, so that when you go before God, you go with the honor that he deserves and most certainly has earned from his people. So I'm going to ask, would you come? We're going to go ahead and sing an invitation hymn. We're going to go ahead and move into the time when the altar is open for us to come and to find that life that he's calling us to find that forgiveness that we have forgotten and need to have hold of again. And in this time, I ask you, will you come and honor him? Father, I thank you again that we have this time to remember you. I thank you that we have this life to celebrate and this joy that fills us. And if there is one here today, Father, who does not know you, I pray, fill their heart with the hope that they can have in you right now, and lift them and walk with them to the altar. And we ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come while there's time?